Hello everyone and welcome back to another Tanisha.com podcast. As I'm sure the title indicates, I turned 20 recently, as recently as Monday, which means that I have had the absolute pleasure of existing on this planet for two whole decades. In no particular order, I also happened to survive Trump's presidency, a global pandemic, a somewhat questionable childhood, Catholic high school, jumping out of a plane and getting hit by a truck. And of course, 5 grueling years of customer service. In this time, I've learnt a thing or two, or 20. To be precise, 20 things were learnt. Storage ran out shortly afterwards, but luckily I've assembled all of my knowledge into this handy little document, so it will not be lost. This post has been sitting in my draft since I was 18, but I hadn't got on top of the blog and getting it back up and going, so the last 2 points were added when I was 19 and 20. Apologies in advance if some of the cultural references are outdated now. Trump is out of office and banned from Twitter, TikTok exists, and COVID happened, but I'm not rewriting too much in the name of youth and authenticity. So without further ado, I present 20 things I've learnt in 20 years. Number 1. What other people think of you is none of your business. People are allowed to not like you. Most of the time it actually has very little to do with you. Don't take it personally, because it's not. Usually you just remind them of some uncomfortable truth about themselves. Number 2. Announce it when you feel embarrassed or awkward. So there's a bit of a story to this one. I used to blush a lot. Like my ears and my chest still go red, but like my whole face used to light up like a tomato on fire. I probably still do blush quite a bit, but it doesn't particularly bother me anymore. It was a bit worse when I was a little 14-year-old in the early years of high school, who was ashamed of her wonky teeth and general inelegance. I'd go red, and then I'd be embarrassed about it, which would just make me blush harder. And then, one fine day, in year 8 geography, I was talking to my friend about it. She looked up solutions, and WikiHow told us, call attention to the awkwardness. So that's what I did, and it works. It works in so many situations, not just the blushing. So many of the awkward situations we find ourselves in are such everyday things, and we've just been taught that we should be ashamed of them. If you point out the uncomfortable thing and laugh it off, people nearly always laugh with you. You mispronounce a word or you trip over your own feet, you have a laugh, you make a friend, and sometimes you get a good story out of it. It's the best way to relate to people, because every one of us has made mistakes or been embarrassed about something small. That is, unless someone has spat while they were talking. Don't point that out. They know, you know, the government knows, just leave it alone. Number 3. Take control of the information that you take in. Say what you will about how technology is making us less communicative. Sure, feel free to tell me again how social media is making all the kids depressed and video games are making them violent. I get it. The first world took a huge turn with the rise of technology. Shocker. But I love technology. I think the internet is lovely. I love social media. I think the things it allows us to achieve every day are incredible. Obviously though, not everyone feels that way. Maybe you're being cyberbullied. Perhaps the models on Instagram make you hate your body. Maybe that one person's Facebook statuses really do ruin your day. That is, if you still use Facebook. Maybe Tanisha keeps trying to get you to read her blog. And sure, perhaps it keeps you up at night. But here's the thing, right? If you don't want to talk to someone who keeps messaging you, block them. If someone's posts upset you, unfollow them. If you can't stop comparing yourself to the girls on Instagram, unfollow them too. If watching the news in the morning makes you depressed, you don't have to watch it. Deliberate, tactical, protective, and purposeful ignorance truly is bliss, especially in an age where the constant stream of bad news we are all bombarded with can make us feel like the whole world is on our shoulders. If it makes you feel better, Follow pages with cute dogs and self-care tips instead of the Kardashians. Follow meme pages instead of Donald Trump's Twitter. The best thing about social media is that you can quite literally tailor it to suit you. So stop blaming the screens for making you sad. Number 4, body neutrality is the healthiest way to think of yourself. Okay, so full support and admiration to the body positivity movement. It's great if you love your body. If that's important to you, awesome. I know it was a tremendous journey for many people and I'm proud of the growth you underwent. But for some, the love yourself narrative doesn't really feel achievable or helpful. It can feel like a standard that is unreachable and bound for failure. A few years ago, I learnt about body neutrality from Jamila Jamil's Twitter account, admittedly. You don't have to love your body. It doesn't have to matter. You certainly do not have to love it in terms of aesthetic. What you are taught is beautiful is a lie. Everyone is attracted to different things, and most of those things aren't even looks-based. Attraction is 98% chemical. Of course, you're crazy if you don't feel some of the pressure that society puts on you and how you look, but it doesn't have to matter as much as it does. Moreover, you aren't born just to attract someone else. You don't have to be pretty, you don't owe anyone pretty. You can choose not to care. Or you can choose not to measure beauty by the shape of your hips or the colour of your eyes or the clearness of your skin, but by your complexity, your humour, your drive and your capacity to love. You can decide that you're beautiful just because you own 13 houseplants. Someone made up the beauty standard and we're all just taught we have to subscribe to it. Make your own. Your body keeps you alive. It has an actual purpose. You live and breathe and laugh and run and smile and hug and cry. If anything, love your body because it keeps you alive and it lets you do the things you love. Number 5, treat yourself the way that you want to be treated. First of all, I'm pretty sure Jesus said that we have to treat people the way that we want to be treated. And I'm so sorry, but that is not good advice. Treat people how they would like to be treated, and tell people how to treat you. The easiest way to do this is to learn about love languages, and literally tell people how you feel loved and how you tend to show love. It makes it a lot easier to understand each other, and everyone ends up feeling understood. But secondly, and more importantly, people won't always treat you the way that you'd like to be treated, so you have to learn to give yourself what you want from someone else. You do have to wipe your own tears and pat your own back and perform your own love language, and you 100% completely definitely have to say nice things to yourself. Number 6. Something is not only better than nothing, but something is enough. Full disclosure, I learnt this during the HSC, so maybe this is just me trying to validate my laziness. But as the poster boy for procrastination, I can confirm that it is good advice to remember that things don't have to be perfect. They don't even have to be finished to have value and be helpful. Progress over perfection. It is a complete capitalist scum of a lie that you have to push yourself to the absolute limit to be worthy of whatever you want. You don't get extra points for going faster in life, and most of us would just crash and burn if we tried. Also, in terms of procrastination, it's a lot easier to just sit down and type something without pressuring yourself to do the whole thing and to do it perfectly. Number 7. Remember how completely insignificant you are. I've said this to a few people and so few of them actually find it comforting, but for me, when things are overwhelming, I find it really calming to think I'm one person in this room. One little person in this town, in this state, in this country, on this planet, in this galaxy, in the universe. Literally imagine a zoom out from where you are. It helps to climb a mountain or sit in a tree or something, just physical perspective. You can think nothing I do matters. Or you can think nothing I do matters. Number 8, pride is a disease. Society has this weird idea that there is honour in stubbornness, except they call it integrity. please listen to me when I say that the phrases "I was wrong" or "I changed my mind" do not hold shame. "I was wrong" is closer to "I learnt and grew" than it is to "I'm stupid and weak." Your pride needs to be kept in check, because if you're too proud to see and admit your shortcomings, you cannot grow from them. Also, life is just a lot more rewarding when you stop letting stupid reasons prevent you from doing whatever you want. And not doing something because you're scared of looking stupid is a stupid reason. Lie down on the road to get that photo. Dance with your friends at parties even though you're bad at it. And don't let anyone ever shit on you for changing your mind or doing what makes you happy. Number 9. You really do only have to muster up 5 seconds of courage at a time. I'm pretty scared of making phone calls, but I know that I only have to get up the guts to press the call button. I'm pretty scared to tell people how I feel, but I know I only have to get up the courage to say, "Hey, I was thinking." I'm pretty scared of heights, but I know I only have to get the guts to jump out of the plane. After that, I can go back to being scared. Be scared, but do it anyway. Number 10, drink more water. No matter how much you already drink, drink more water. Number 11, find something that brings you peace and do it every single day. It doesn't need to be some big grand project. You don't even have to be good at it. You can literally do something as simple as sitting outside for 10 minutes, or listening to music, or writing, painting, playing music, talking, or breathing, or running, or photography, whatever. We all have something. Maybe some people need it more than others, but you do need quiet in your soul. Don't go a day without it, it's important. Number 12. Growing up consists of learning and learning and learning and learning and then unlearning. Honestly, have yourself a few minor existential crises and realize that so much of your reality is dictated by social construct, and that you are very much able to choose which of those you want to prescribe to and which ones you don't. In slightly less cringy words, that is, question the things you have been taught. Find the difference between how you have been taught you should feel and how you really do feel. Number 13. If you're not happy, change. Someone said this to me after I'd been complaining about something insignificant when I was like 14. I remember it really stinging to hear at the time, but it stuck with me. By all means, be gentle with yourself. If you need to stay in bed and cry for 3 days, do that. But at some point, you do have to get up and you do have to put your own foot down on yourself, and you need to feel better. As Barney from How I Met Your Mother would say, different is always better. Number 14, trust your gut. Your subconscious picks up on so many little things, so much information that your conscious mind just can't process through it. So when you feel your body is telling you something, listen to it. You are probably right. Number 15, don't hang out with people that you don't like, and don't do things that you don't want to do. I've heard that we are all a combination of 5 people closest to us. Make sure that you surround yourself with people that you like, or you make it hard to like yourself. Don't do things that you hate doing either. If you're 18 but you hate the feeling of being drunk, you don't have to go out drinking with your friends every weekend. You're not missing out on anything if participating means you have a shitty time. Also, when you don't want to hang out, don't make up excuses as to why not. Tell your friends when you're feeling socially drained or you want to stay home. Tell your friends why you don't like being in particular places with particular people doing particular things. If your friends are cool, they'll try to take those feelings into account. If you continually make excuses, they'll probably just assume that you don't want to spend time with them. And if you actually don't want to spend time with your friends ever, get new friends. Number 16. Learn to stand up for yourself. Learn to say, "Don't speak to me like that." At the end of the day, no one is going to hate you forever for simply asking that they treat you with respect. And if they do, in fact, hate you for that, then they suck and you don't need them anyway. Number 17. Forgive people for your own sake, not necessarily theirs. You don't have to respond to sorry with "it's okay," because sometimes it is not okay. However, anger can be a really weighty emotion to carry, and grudges are hard to hold. After a little while, Your emotional arms will get really sore if you don't choose to drop them. You are only hurting yourself. Number 18. Let yourself feel whatever you feel. Just let yourself cry. Let yourself be angry. As long as you're not hurting anyone, it's healthy and it's freeing, and I would highly recommend it. Number 19. Intention matters. You know how they say actions speak louder than words? I don't buy that. I think your intention matters more than the action in most circumstances. So as long as you're honest and kind in your intentions, you're living a good life and you're a good person. Number 20. Anger is not a bad emotion. This is the most recent thing that I think fundamentally changed the way I look at life. I grew up very fearful of anger. To me, it seemed dangerous, ugly, unkind, and pointless. Obviously, no emotion is a bad one. Still, for the vast majority of my life, I simply did not let myself feel angry. Over the last year, this has changed. My anger has held people accountable for the ways they've let me down or mistreated me, but simply, if you're angry, it's because you know that you deserved better. In most cases, anger is a reflection of self-worth, and that's good. Of course, do no harm, take no shit, but don't ignore your anger. It's there for a reason, and you're allowed to feel that way. That brings us to the end of my knowledge. I hope some of it was helpful, because as I said, I've run out of storage. I will attempt to learn some more this year, but no guarantees. Thank you to everyone who helped me grow into the person I am today, regardless of whether or not you're still in my life. So far, it's been an interesting one. I won't say it's been an easy one, but I wouldn't trade it for someone else's. That said, if you take any of the advice given in this list and it works out poorly, I do not take responsibility. Please do not sue me. Thank you for listening. Remember to like, follow, share, whatever you do on whatever platform and whatever device you're on. I will talk to you next week.